I'm actually in a situation where, you know those things where you go to and they say, our next speaker needs no introduction. You probably know more about John Chapman than I do. You've probably heard him speak more often than I have. But John's been around a long time as an evangelist, not just around Sydney, but around Australia and around the world. And then a few years ago, he retired and kept it up. And what he's got to speak about is using your retirement for ministry purposes, particularly for the gospel. If there's anybody in John's retirement village who is not yet converted, it's not his fault. He's been continuing on, not just where he lives, but also in other places. And so John's going to come now and speak to us about the whole business of using our retirement, when we stop working full-time for money, to be able to use that for the purposes of the Lord. So thanks, John. Everyone give him a good welcome.
Fellas, let me say, it isn't clear when you read the bump about what I'm going to speak about. So let me say right now what I am going to speak about. And then if this is not what you thought you were coming to, you've still got time to go to an alternative. I will be touching in passing on some of the issues about ministering to older people. But the greater bulk of what I want to say is getting yourself ready to minister during your own retirement. And that is the greater bulk of the thrust of what I want to talk about. Whether I was briefed correctly, or whether I'm just so old now I heard what I wanted to hear, it's always hard to tell. When the lights dim, I'm never sure if it's the next step in the ageing program, and I've got to say to the person next to me, have the lights just dimmed, or it's the next thing along the way. But that's what I'm going to do. I'll do that briefly as I head along, and then there will be tons of time for question, and if when you get to the end you're frustrated beyond all belief, you'll be able to have a chance to vent your frustration in question time, and you can pick what few brains I've got left. You know I was not down to speak at this seminar originally, but the trouble is, when you invite geriatrics to preach, you're never sure if they're going to be there, but then neither are they. And so there you go. Let me just say up front that I can't find anywhere where the Bible knows anything about retirement, and certainly not from ministry or Christian work. Ministry, Christian ministry, is part of Christian living. And there's no sense in which you would retire from the Christian life because you'd retired from work. I know that it's a very strong view in Australian psyche. The Australian view of the ideal world is to have two holidays a year of 6 months' duration. Somebody once told me that people go to live on the northern beaches so they can be in a holiday frame of mind all the year round. And I don't know if that's true or not, but it might be. The first thing I want to talk about is planning for retirement. If you don't plan for it, it's not going to happen the way you thought it would. I don't know if you know or not, but the books on retirement tell you that 90% of men have achieved in the first 6 months of their retirement everything they plan to do for the rest of their retirement. At that stage, they look in dismay and say to their wives, who have very full lives, "What are we going to do now?" That sends their wives almost to total distraction, because they hadn't planned to do anything apart from live their life to the full as they'd been doing right up to now, since they are not retiring in the way he does. Now, I know we joke about this, But let me say that it doesn't take you long in retirement before you've got time on your hands. And you say to yourself, what in fact am I going to do? I want to make a distinction between full-time clergy persons and lay people, because there's a sense in which the full-time clergy people do in their retirement what they did during their working life. So that adjustment's not nearly so difficult. And if you don't want to be in charge, and you're prepared to work with somebody and not want to change everything, there is so much ministry waiting to be done that you won't be able to achieve it all. I think you have in retirement, if you, depending on when you retire, about 10 years where you'll be able to do regular ministry without your body falling apart so that it interrupts you doing that. If you think your body falling apart is all that much fun, it's because it hasn't happened to you. And you might laugh away if you like, but from about 70 onwards, you could acquire a new specialist every month. Last year, I wrote a book in the waiting rooms of the specialists I have acquired. Why they can never keep to their schedule of appointments is beyond my comprehension. I know they've got to operate and all that rubbish, but why they don't have to allow time for it, I don't know. All right, let me ask a couple of basic questions with regard to your own retirement. If you don't plan for it, you won't achieve very much indeed, and you'll be driven to distraction. How do you think about your retirement? Do you think you'll be on a long, endless holiday, or is it going to allow you time for ministry? Most people in their working life have got to really work hard to find time for ministry. Our lives are busy. If you run a Bible study group, just finding time to prepare and deal with it. If you teach a Sunday school class, just finding time to do that is really an uphill job, isn't it? By the time you've left quality time for your wife and your family, you don't have a lot of spare time left for ministry. Now, for goodness sake, don't think of your retirement as endless holiday. Most people are bored out of their mind with endless holiday anyway. I used to be a school teacher and I thought having 6 weeks off was marvellous. But I was desperate to get back to work again at the end of 6 weeks. I mean, at the beginning of it, you're so excited about going away for 6 weeks holidays. You say, boy, if only I could be on holidays forever. I've hardly ever met anybody who wasn't dying to get back to work again. Anyway, I won't walk down that track. You need to discuss fairly extensively with your spouse as to whether your retirement is going to be a teamwork where you'll work together or where you'll work separately. Don't let that just happen by chance. It needs to be talked through. Bear in mind, will you, that your spouse has already ministries within the framework of the local church, which she may or may not want to interrupt for your benefit. But you will need to say, are we going to work as a team in this new ministry, which I've got time to do, or are we not? Can I say, at most churches, if you want to minister at the church, you've got to be prepared to be there regularly, and you'll need to be dependably regularly. No good taking 4 months off and going round and tour the whole north and spend some time at Cairns and fish barramundi and barbecue them and wrestle crocodiles and then come back again and expect to pick up the ministry which somebody else has been doing while you were there. Now, your children will be delighted at the prospect of your retirement because you'll be able to mind the dog and the children and or both while they go on holidays. I'm saying disillusion them of that quickly. Okay? Disillusion them of that quickly and talk with them about the ministry you plan to do in retirement. Can I say the other thing too is that many of my friends who did not plan for retirement felt when they were forced to retire that they had been rejected. And that did seem to me to be a great foolishness. It lacked a great deal of wisdom. I was so excited at the prospect of what I'd be able to do in retirement that it couldn't come fast enough. And when the new director of the Department of Evangelism said, "Would you like to stay on our payroll?" I said, "No. No, I don't want to do that. I can do that without you paying me. I've got enough goodwill around the place to generate finance if I need it." And I said, "You can put somebody else on the staff with the money you'll save for me." Now, I'm paid by Centrelink, by and large, at the present moment, and they pay me slightly more than the Anglican denomination did. And I just want to say to you, brothers, for those of you who continue to pay your income tax, please keep it up. Please keep it up. I'm enjoying it enormously. Can I say the next thing is that unpaid work is valuable. Do not be conned into believing that if you are not paid, it can't be valuable. Now, the feminist movement has done untold damage to the whole cause of motherhood by suggesting that if you work hard at anything but don't get paid for it, you are an inferior person. What a load of codswallop that is. If you do a valuable piece of work, it is a valuable piece of work, irrespective of whether you get paid for it or whether you don't. When we come later on to the case studies, I want to tell you about some things I have observed in the Christian world where I've been, and of the value of unpaid work. There was a time, of course, where we relied in churches on voluntary work that was unpaid. But more and more and more, they've been pushed out and full-time workers have taken their place. But the time's coming when we're going to have a predominance of retired people with not the sort of money to pay those workers, but with time on their hands. Can I urge you now, before you get to retirement, to start praying that God will guide you as to where you will have valuable ministry in your retirement? It's a thing to be planned for, and it's a thing to be prayed about. And I would start praying about that now, so that when the time comes, you're prepared for it and you're fairly certain you've been guided by God to do what it is you want to do. Let me suggest some possible areas of work. And I want to talk about two areas of work, one at the local church and one in terms of freelance ministry. With regard to the local church, you ought to speak to your pastor or minister about what possible work he might think you might do in retirement. That doesn't necessarily mean that he will have a job for you, because he may not have put his mind to how to occupy retired people. He mightn't have even put his mind to that. He's got lots of things to put his mind to. And if he's young, that'll have been the last thing on his mind. He's trying to work out how to survive in ministry, let alone how to get you to survive in ministry. All right? So if he doesn't have any ideas, don't get disillusioned, but ask early on so he's got more than a split second to think about it. Most people do better when they've got a double split second than a single one. Let me ask, whereabouts do you have skills? Can I say that your skills may be able to be transferred almost immediately into the life of the local church? They may not. You will not be welcome, if you want to bring about radical change and throw your weight around. If you are the sort of person saying, I can't wait to retire till I can get my hands on the administration of this church, please go somewhere else. Or repent, that'd be better, wouldn't it? Repent. You're always welcome if you don't want to change things. Can I say, in case I forget it later and I say it now, when you normally arrive as a visitor, you don't immediately start to rearrange the furniture in most people's houses. When you arrive as a visitor at church, for goodness sake, don't start rearranging the furniture. That is the least important thing. And if you start making it the most important thing, I was at a church building the other night, which hasn't yet been opened. We used it for a dinner. And the guy sitting next to me said, do you think there'll be a cross here? I was so shaken. And all I could do to say, who cares? And I thought, that's probably not the most sensitive thing to say. I said, thank goodness I don't have to make that decision. Wimpo chappo. Okay. But honestly, does it matter? Well, anyway, I won't walk down that path. You may have to suggest some areas where you think you might be able to work. Say, do you think I could do this? Do you think I could do that? Let me say that when it comes to ministering to seniors groups, there's plenty of opportunity there. You may find this a difficult thing to believe, that most retired people have got time on their hands. And my experience is, if you organise anything for retirement people, they'll come to it and they'll be an hour early because they don't want to be late. And it's been interesting to me to see how you might take them away on a house party and overnight. Leave early one morning, only have them one night because they can't carry enough pills to do more than one night. You say they've got to have two suitcases full of pills and then bring them back the next day. And most people can manage if they've forgotten their pills for one night. I mean, I look at the seven in my hand in the morning and say, there are no two of the same ones, are there? They're not two white ones, are there? No. Hope for the best. Can I say that if you take seniors, I'm in a retirement village and the social club organises something for the oldies to do every day. And sometimes they don't do anything more than go whale watching. They've never seen a whale yet. But they take their binoculars down to Stanwell Tops and they all look out to sea. Then they have morning tea and come home and it's a great morning. Because there's time on their hands. Now, this is a great moment for ministry, to be able to pick people up, because it's difficult for us to find people. In the church of which I belong to, there are two seniors groups. One has more emphasis on its social activities, and therefore it generally ministers to those who are fairly mobile. And there's another one to people who are almost non-mobile and half of them are carried into the church building. Now, they're always looking for helpers, both of those groups, and both of those groups, in my judgment, offer good opportunities to tell people the gospel. I don't know why we haven't made more of grandparenting in the local church. I was visited a church in Northern Ireland where every Sunday school class had grandparents who prayed for the children in that Sunday school class and prayed regularly for the teaching of them. And about once a year they had them round for a party. But the ministry was a ministry of prayer. Now, even if that's not an organised thing, you could do that informally, couldn't you? Look around. I also think there's a great ministry in grandparenting to single mothers in churches. And once again, without being intrusive, pray for somebody that you can grandparent and do it, instead of taking time off from church with your own grandchildren. Have some new grandchildren around the place. I notice in the Diocese of Armidale that they have training seminars and have put together teams of seniors to minister to other senior groups, just like a team that went. They sing songs, they give their testimonies, and they give talks. Can I say too, for those of you who are speaking to seniors, for goodness sake, tell them the truth about life and death and life after death, and don't monkey about with them. Most of us don't have much more than an attention span of 10 minutes, so please don't give us longer talks than that, and that will cause you to concentrate your own mind on the gospel much more clearly. Okay? Please stop pretending that old people somehow have become better. They're as pagan as you can get. At least the ones I speak to are. And they've had a lifetime of saying no to the gospel. So keep telling them the gospel. Those of you who are at the seminar that Richard spoke at, he said, please present Jesus. Please talk to old people about the Lord Jesus. And most of them will have had some Sunday school background. See, my generation, I think, is probably the last generation where pretty everybody went to Sunday school. But anybody who's my age, and that's 76 and touching 77, they'll have had background of Sunday school. Doesn't mean they've heard the gospel. Okay, all right. Now, there are some areas that I can think of at the local church. And if those groups for seniors aren't already there, it's time, I think, for you to start planning for them, because the older population is going to burst on us very, very shortly. All those baby boomers are old rockers now. I know they're still desperately trying to surf on their surfboards, but that's because they've got delayed adolescence. But they physically won't be able to get up on their boards for much longer, and certainly not in retirement. My own view of retirement was that at 65 I would retire and play golf every other day. It never crossed my mind that I wouldn't be able to physically play more than 18 holes a week, and that I'd have to lie in the bath for hours the day afterwards to try and get my muscles to work so I could simply get out of bed. It never crossed my mind, but nonetheless, it's come to me. I could hit the ball further at golf when I was 10 than I can now, and as regards to tennis, all I have left is memory. I played off 12 in my heyday at golf. I now play off 28, and I'm battling to play to my handicap. But that's life, and that's growing old. Let me say something about freelance ministries. There are plenty of ministries that you can do outside the local church. Just do it. You could do door-to-door visiting without permission from anybody. That's what's so nice about living in a free country. You can just get up and do it. And if you've got no skills at that, for goodness sake, write on the seminar. Get somebody to teach me. Now, I know several blokes who do that and who do it efficiently. It's not my big thing. But it might be, you might be able to learn to do it, and you might be somebody who could do it really well. Walk-up evangelism remains a possibility for anybody, anywhere, at any time. You don't need to be organised to do that. It might fill you with dread, but then lots of people do it just the same, and lots of people get trained to do it. Thirdly, parachurches always need helpers. The Bible Society, Scripture Union, AFES, the Crusader Union, if you were to ring their office and say, do you need a helper for X hours a week? The shock will be so great at the other end, you'll have to wait while they recover and give you an answer. Okay. Now, where are you going to live? Well, that will depend on whether you think you're going on holidays or whether you're going to do ministry. Many people have had such lovely times on their holidays that they think this would be a great place to retire to. I think you'd be wise to go and rent for a couple of years before you build, because it may turn out that the whole year round is not quite like it is when you go for holes. But if you're going to think about ministry, look for a church that will help you. You've heard Philip Jensen say this, I know. He says, most people, when they start their work program, buy into an area just slightly outside their range. Then they spend the rest of their life trying to pay off the mortgage. Then they look around to see if there is a church nearby who can help them, which there may or may not be. He said, if your life is going to be spent in ministry, instead of looking for the biggest house you can't afford, say, what sort of a house do I need for ministry? Where is the church that's most likely to help me with ministry? And you might end up with a totally different scenario altogether. Can I say, for goodness sake, wherever you go to live in retirement, do not leave the church to chance. See that you look around for a church which is going to help you in living the Christian life and help you in ministry. And for those of you who've got people on the brink of retiring, help them to think about what life will be like. Look for a church where you'll get help. Let me ask you to think of Retirement Village as a means of ministry. Let me talk to you about three case studies I've observed, and then there'll be oodles of time for questions. One, a Bible college with which I am familiar, 25 years ago, a woman fronted up and said to the principal, I have got time on my hands and I have got office managerial skills and I am prepared to offer myself to you. He had misunderstood the offer, but because they were short of somebody in the office, he snapped her up. For 25 years, she ran the office of that college, and she did it for free. She ran the office. Now, what is that worth in terms of a cash contribution? $600,000. That is a highly substantial donation, isn't it? But she just, apart from 3 weeks' holiday a year, fronted up every morning at 9 o'clock and ran the office all day and left at 5 o'clock. That is a massive ministry. And in terms of the college, it freed them up to put an extra lecturer on. Friends of mine in retirement spent a day a month at CMS simply folding up stuff to go into envelopes. They did another day a month for Scripture Union, and they did another day a month for the Bible Society. Now that obviously saves those people. I mean, I know it's pretty mindless just folding up stuff and stuffing it into envelopes. It isn't what I would call the most exciting work that you can engage in. But in terms of saving for the organisation, it is large indeed. At the retirement village where I live, which is Donald Robinson, it's a fairly new village, and none of us have been there longer than 2 years. There is a couple in our village who came to spend their entire retirement at the village. So they've come in at age 60, and they've come with the expressed purpose of ministry within the village itself. Now they're fit still, and they're very active, and they are great organisers. They run a Bible study group, they have a big say in what happens at the village church, and they're good in one-on-one, and they're very good news for our village. They decided to come in immediately so that they could give their best years of retirement to this ministry. And it is very, very valuable ministry indeed. Okay, that's what I want to say. That's what I know. And those of you who wished you'd been elsewhere, I'm saying that's life in a fallen world. Now, do you want to ask me a question? And if you do, I'll give it my best shot in answering. Now it's time for questions. Yes, brother, big voice, because I'm as deaf as a beetle. Yes, and brother, one of the things I should have said too was that you will have more time to read the Bible and say your prayers. And you won't be able to do that for longer periods. But if you do one in the morning and one at lunchtime and one in the evening, you'll cover 3 times as much ground. And do some exciting things like say, well, at lunchtime I'll put aside 1/4 hour and pray for missionaries. In the evening I'll put aside 1/4 hour and pray for the state of the nation and my denomination and its effect on it. And in the morning, to have your own personal prayer time. And read the Bible each time too. You'll get through more of it. Don't waste your time. I spend an inordinate amount of time reading murder mysteries, and I've been convicted of late, one, by the amount of money I spend in buying them instead of finding them in my local library because I'm lazy, and 2, how much more time I could have spent in reading the Bible. But that's a personal problem I've got to handle. I meant to say that. Plan now for that which you do on the run, that you don't do that in retirement. You will have time to do it, but I doubt you'll be able to spend 3 times the time if you do it in one lot, because I just fall asleep. That's my trouble. And so if I do it 3 times a day, I mean, the Muslims do it 5 times a day, so pick her up 3 times, then you might work yourself up to 5. There you go. Thanks, brother. Yes. Somebody asked me the question, if in the ageing people their lack of health gives you an opportunity, do you talk about death with them or do you reassure them? I've got it? Yeah, both. Both. See, I go to my doctor recently and he is obviously worried and he says, your kidneys aren't functioning properly. And you ought to go and see the specialist. And I said, well, who do you suggest? Oh, this is the trouble with kidney specialists, they're all butchers. Well, I said, shall I just nick down to my local butcher? No, he said, I don't think you better do that. So he says, here's one that I trust. I can't get in to see him for 2 months. Now, that he is worried causes me to worry. And I was preaching that Sunday on the passage of Jesus stilling the storm at sea. And at the end of it all, he doesn't say to them, weren't you lucky that I was in the boat? You must have been frightened out of your wits. What a terrifying experience for you. He says, why were you so afraid? Why didn't you trust me? And on the way home in the car, I said to myself, why are you so afraid, Chapo? Trust him. He's thoroughly trustworthy. It is a great reassurance. The other thing about living in a retirement village, brother, is your mortality presses hard upon you. Because the paper man comes every morning at 4:30 and the ambulance comes pretty well every day at 9 o'clock. And every now and again he brings people home. At the Bible study group I go in the retirement village, an inordinate amount of time is spent on praying for our friends who are crook. Because everybody's crook all the time. And it's now a matter of the degree of your crookness as to whether you can get on the prayer list at the Bible study group or not. You have to be knocking on the door fairly loudly to get a mention at our Bible study group. The other thing too is, I should have said this too, do plan for your singleness. Because at least half of you will be single again. Don't let that take you by surprise. If you're somebody who can't even boil an egg, for goodness sake, learn now. Now is a good time. It can't be too soon. Because there are people I recognise who have been totally dependent upon their spouse, only to discover that he, she has died. In the retirement village where I am, there are many people who became single between selling their house and moving into the village, which is terribly, terribly sad. Now, what sort of ministry will you give to them? You'll give the ministry you give to bereaved people. Now, I went to speak at a group recently. I mean, I know this is a long answer. I'm sorry about this. I'm totally indisciplined in answering. But I was down at a gathering of very elderly people. In fact, I think I lowered the average age to 83 at Carringbar. And when I saw how old they were, I was enormously bold. And I said to them, do you reckon you've got 10 years to live? And they fell about in uncontrollable laughter. It was so outside the realm of possibility, to which I totally agreed. And I said, do you reckon you've got 5 more years left? And the room went very quiet. So I think they thought they might have had 5 at a pinch. Well, I said, if I wasn't right with God, I'd make that a high priority. Because you know how long it takes us to do everything now we're getting on. I said, you mightn't have enough time left unless you start today. Now, you might have to be my age before you can pull that off. But I'm saying, once you get into that age bracket, don't muck about anymore. Okay? And with old people, people play an enormous amount of stupid games. Like saying, you look younger every time I see you. They need to see the optometrist. I have never met an aging person who looks better than they did in the past. Honestly. And the other thing too is, get it out of your mind that old people are less sinful than everybody else. They're exactly the same person they were when they were 40. Only it takes them twice as long to do everything. Okay? So don't hold back from telling them the gospel. But many of them are very close to Judgment Day. And they need to be reminded of that as I need to be reminded of it. That answer your question, brother? Thank you. Yes. Well, of course people are going to live longer, and there are going to be more of them because of our medical advances. And you see, it takes me ages to get out of my mind that if the specialist can't immediately heal me, he must be a quack. You see, and it comes as a great shock to me when he says, we don't really know why your kidneys aren't working. And I had all I could do not to say to him, well, why are you taking my $80? But I bit my tongue on that since I was getting $50 back from you all. So, but brother, not only are elderly people going to live longer, but the greater bulk of Australians are pushing into that age bracket. Church is going to be more than 50% full of snow-capped mountain and barren peaks. And we really do need to think about ministry to them and groupings for them within the framework of church. Thank you for your question. Yeah, big voice, brother, please. Yes. Well, brother, I'll tell you what. The question was, no, don't ask people in retirement villages how they are. You'll never get out. I went recently to a reunion of the classes of 67, 68 at Moore College. I know some of you weren't born then, but if you keep breathing, you'd be surprised how long you live for. I kept making the fatal mistake of saying, how are you? I didn't want to know how they were. I just saying, g'day. Man alive, did I lurch from organ recital to organ recital. And every one of them had a cure, but you could tell at a glance it hadn't worked. I was glad to get away with normal people afterwards. Sorry, brother, what are you going to say? Don't go on about it. There's nothing wrong with grey hair. I haven't even got any to go grey. Yes, brother. And brother, the other thing I want to say too is, I agree with you entirely about that, teaching scripture in schools. And the other thing too is, get it out of your head that you're beyond being retrained. That's a nonsense beyond all belief. The thing that never ceases to surprise me in the village where I am is how many talented people there are. And if you want to be taught, you can be taught to do almost anything by the people there. And they've got time to do it. They've got the skills to do it, and they've got time to do it. But I think teaching children in schools is great ministry. Anybody else want to make a comment? Big voice, brother, please. Sure. I think we're not good at integrating our strengths at church life. And especially... look out for those of you who do organisation in ministries, for people whose children have come good in adult life, and get those parents linked up with new parents. I think people vary greatly in their parenting skills. That seemed to me to be a fairly obvious thing. But I think that is a good variation, brother. And... how we do that without seeming to intrude with people, I think, would need to be a matter of prayer. But why we don't have grandparents for Sunday school classes, that's the easiest thing to organise. And if you were a Sunday school teacher, wouldn't you be glad to know that somebody had prayed for you every day in the week and had prayed for your kids? Well, I think that could be organised tomorrow, yeah? Well, brother, I think when you're ministering to people, in the end, you're aiming to show them Christ and to get them to repent and trust him. And it's no different at whatever age you're at. I'm not saying that it's any easier to do that witnessing, but you can give your own testimony about the wonder of Christ. I've ministered to a couple of blokes in the village where I am who've lost their wives while they've been there. But they talk about how much they appreciated the kindness of the Christian people. Just the church picked them up. Church in the village picked them up. And both of them have started to come to church regularly. I'm not sure whether they've become Christians. I think they have, but I am sceptical about whether that's true. Okay? But remember, will you, doesn't matter how old you are, you're still a human being. And everything that you could do when they were 25, you can do. Only they understand their mortality better, unless people have played games with them. Yeah. Thanks, brother. Do you hear that over there? Yes, yes, yes. Can I say, if I can want to emphasise anything, it's going to say, plan, for goodness sake, start planning now so that you're looking forward to the ministry you'll have rather than feeling as if you've been rejected. Yes. Okay, thanks very much indeed. I don't know if you heard over here, but he's actually saying, as an ex-undertaker, he finds many people die without having made their wills properly or having really faced what's going to happen. And he's urging people to do that. Have you ever thought of running seminars to prepare people for eternity? I mean, just put a seminar together. Get someone to tell you how to put your will together. Are you going to have somebody who'll make decisions for you when you become totally gaga? Or are you going to be a total menace to your family? What plans have you made? Do they know where your will is? Now, that can all be put together. I've got a little booklet at the present moment. It'll be about 30 or 40 pages called Making the Most of the Rest of Your Life. And it's about life after this life and the new creation and how we ought to be longing for it. But there's no reason why we shouldn't be running seminars. Call it making the most of the rest of your life or preparing for eternity. The trouble is, we don't think we're going to be caught on the hop. I mean, nice people like us don't die, do they? It's like nice people like us don't have road accidents. How come I've got 9 demerit points then? And brother, it reminded me when I was talking about you'd lost your license. When I turned 75, and because I'm diabetic, of course, I have to have a test every year to see if I'm roadworthy. Don't worry about the car, to see whether I am. And so they reminded me that I was going to be tested at aged 80, and they sent me a long questionnaire. Of questions I might look to put my mind to now that I was 75. And one of the questions was, are you easily distracted while driving? Well, I was driving to college and I thought, well, no, I'm not easily distracted, really. And suddenly a sign went by I'd never seen in my life before. I'd missed the turn off. I said, you are easily distracted, chappo. You are easily distracted. Anyway, there you go. We've got time for another contribution, brother. Say it with a big voice, will you? Well, I would certainly think about that. If you're going to do ministry, you need to have enough to live on. But we live in a country, brother, it is a bonanza to grow old in Australia. My doctor said to me recently, have you got any idea how much this drug costs? I said, I don't want to know. It costs me $4.70, and that's quite enough to pay. He said, it's worth $500 a throw. Well, I tell you what, I'm very careful not to drop it down the sink anymore. I'm not paying that for medication for rats to have. Get good advice. And I'll be surprised if your employer doesn't give you good advice about how to invest it. Okay? Now, Phil, have we got time for another?
One more.
This is the last, lucky last, brother. You have it. Brother, what's your name?
Peter.
Peter, do you enjoy it?
I love it.
Yes, of course. Of course. All right, those of you who are ministers might like to take that on board. And those of you who are thinking of retirement, I personally have found there are more scope for ministry than I've got opportunities to take. Anyway, there you go, Phil.